cementing his status as one of today's most prolific and masterful jazz musicians. Further information and tickets at cap.ucla.edu and kpfk.org.
KPFK, Los Angeles.
Today, The Expansion Zone with Sonia Barrett.
Everybody's talking about consciousness. Everybody wants that eternal.
On The Expansion Zone, we examine life and our quest to understand who and what we are and of the vastness of human potentials. We explore the making of our world from quantum physics to parapsychology, health, sociology, and philosophy, along with practical living. You are reminded of the possibilities in creating personal change. So for an hour, we'll stimulate and expand the mind. Welcome once again to another edition of The Expansion Zone with Sonia Barrett. I am your host, Sonia Barrett, and it is Monday. As always, this is where you find me on Mondays. Thank you so much for tuning in to KPFK 90.7 FM and also those who are listening at kpfk.org. Wishing you a great week and encouraging you to, as usual, shut the noise out. It's kind of challenging to do that at times, but when possible, find a way to get to center. All right, so based on today's talk, just a really short quote, but I think a very significant one, which is, take care of your body. It's the only place you have to live. And that's by Jim Rohn. And that is the truth. You know, we talk about everything else, and we forget that the original and first home, if nothing else, is that body. So anyway, all right, that's my quote for today. And today's topic is the cellular science of true health. And I added your skin is the messenger. And that's based on our guest today, who is Benjamin Knight Fuchs, a compounding pharmacist. And we are going to have an incredible time chatting with him. But I want to read a bit about about who Ben is. Benjamin Knight Fuchs is a compounding pharmacist, skincare chemist, nutritionist, and health educator known for his integrative approach to skin and overall wellness. As a founder of Truth Treatments, he formulates professional grade skincare based on the understanding that skin health begins with cellular nutrition and intelligent ingredient design rather than surface level solutions. His work emphasizes potent bioavailable ingredients, including advanced forms of vitamin C, essential fatty acids, and key nutrients to support the skin barrier and overall function. Beyond skin care, he is a longtime nutrition educator, teaching the role of diet, digestion, and targeted supplementation in addressing underlying imbalances and supporting long-term health. He is also the host of The Bright Side, which I've been on the show several times, a nationally syndicated radio program and podcast where he translates complex science into accessible, practical insights. Through his work, he improves individuals, or empowers individuals, rather, to take a more informed and active role in their health. So, Ben, welcome for a change. Well, welcome to my
show. That, yes, that is. That's an honor. What an honor, I'll tell you. I've been, you know, I tell you this all the time, but I read the Holographic Canvas many years ago, and I thought to myself, who is this human? If she's a human, even, you know, and then I started listening to you and I got on your calls and I still listen to some of the recordings that I purchased from you. You're I don't want to say brilliant because beyond that, you've just plugged in and you're tapped into a source of wisdom that we all have access to, by the way, but that you've figured out how to tap into, and you share that so generously and so kindly and so intelligently with people. I'm honored. I'm honored to be on your show, but I'm honored to even know you. I'm honored that you even, that you even call me, that you even reach out to me. So thank you very much. And I don't say that very often, and I don't say that lightly. So thank you for what you're doing. It's an honor to be with you.
Oh my goodness! Thank you so much, Ben. Let's just do the whole show about me.
Okay, I'm all about it. I'm all about it.
Oh my gosh! Thank you so much.
You actually said a whole bunch in that intro. I kind of jotted things down. You all, every time I listen to you, I take notes. I love what you said about expansion. You know, that's such a powerful word, expansion. Mm-hmm. With all of our, you know, I'm a healthcare professional. In the profane sense, the mundane sense, being a pharmacist. And what I've discovered is all illness and all lack of satisfaction in life is about contraction. It's the opposite. And even as we age, the contraction accrues over time. And as we age, you look at somebody when they're elderly and they're contracted. And that's really that's what we hate about in the beauty business and in the skin business. What we really hate is the fact that we're contracting rather than expanding. But we can expand with intention. We don't have to suffer from gravity. We don't have to suffer from entropy beyond a certain amount. We can actually slow it down by practicing expansion and breathing and holding your body upward. And there's all these kinds of things that we could do volitionally and intentionally that we can leverage. So thank you for expansion, for using that word. And then also you talk about the cell. Oh my God, we should be in slack-jawed amazement on our knees, praising whatever divine force you want to praise about just the cell. 100 trillion, Sonia, 100 trillion of these little creatures. They're entities, they're creatures, they're conscious, intelligent beings. And they've somehow, check this out, this is the coolest, they've given themselves up for the team. They've taken one for the team. They've lost their independence so they can become a liver or a bone or a skin or a heart or a brain or whatever it is. There's 200 plus different types of cells, and all of them are independent organs or independent creatures that have given themselves up to become organs. How amazing.
I love it.
Isn't that amazing?
I love it because I'm always saying that you know, each is a universe unto itself.
Yes, ma'am. And responsive and intelligent and shape-shifting, fluctuating, compartmentalized, intricate. And the whole thing, the whole package is in a space that's microscopic. You know, we look, when people think of cells, they think of that thing on the blackboard, that circle on the blackboard. Mm-hmm. That's not a cell. That's a cross-section. A cell is a blob. Things embedded in it, microscope. My God, every time I talk about it, I just get blown away. It's a microscopic blob with millions of working parts embedded, and those millions of working parts are constantly being broken down and reorganized and resynthesized, and there's little rooms, compartments, and there's a skeletal structure, and there's a tiny little center with 6 feet of DNA. You know, if you took all the DNA out of your body, it would go to Saturn and back 6 times.
Unbelievable. I mean, we are just what an incredible, I don't even know what to call it sometimes, because you get excited like I do. You know, when we start thinking about
oh my God, it's amazing.
It's amazing
that we're even here in this body. What kind of sorcery, the mechanism, what kind of sorcery is this? What kind of science fiction creature thing is this thing called a body? And every once in a while I hear people say, oh, you know, the miracles are in the Bible. There's no miracles anymore. I think, what? What are you talking about? This thing that we call a body that we take for granted in pharmacy school, which is not really a, you know, a font of spirituality, obviously, they used to put on the blackboard OGK when they talked about some of these molecular mechanisms. Only God knows OGK, because there's no explanation. And really, we don't need an explanation, even though it's interesting. What we really need to do is be amazed, be right. in awe of what we are, of just the mere idea that of vision. Well, how does vision work? How do we yeah. see? You know, our brain is locked up in the dark, yet we have
to see with our brain.
What's that?
We see with our brain.
But it's in the dark, and yet we somehow created this synthesized world, this psychedelic fabricated world of colors and shapes and sounds. And it's the most amazing thing if we're mindful of it. And this is, in fact, what being mindful is about. This whole thing of mindful meditation, which they taught, you know, the last 20 years or so, it's become somewhat popular. Jon Kabat-Zinn and Harvard and Yale and Johns Hopkins have these mindfulness meditation curricula. And really what it's about is just being aware of the magnificence, the magic, the stunning nature of our even most mundane reality, the absolutely mind-blowing, psychedelic phantasmagoria that we find ourselves immersed in. But yet, we still have to pay the bills. Yeah. We still got to pay the rent, and we still got to – we don't really. We think we do.
But
we
right, see, you know? But it's all part of the story, and it's
the
all
story.
Part of the
yeah.
the experiencing in a body. And
I love that. And
that's the thing I love about it is when we can step back, like everything you've just said – but when you can step back and really look like, wow, I'm in this vehicle. I am not, this vehicle is not the totality of who I am.
I'm aware of it.
Right.
I'm aware of it.
Exactly. And you have an opportunity to move about in the environment because of this vehicle that you're in.
Yeah, yeah.
And experience paying bills.
Well, yeah, you know what? Just said a couple things there. Check this out. What is this thing that is aware?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? It's not the body because you're aware of the body, right? There's awareness of the body. But what is this non-local thing that we are? It's self-evident. It's not airy-fairy. You know, it's mm-hmm. not some kind of weird Boulder, Colorado hippie talk. It's a self-evident phenomena that you're not a local entity. You're non-local. Point to yourself. We can't point to ourselves. You can point to your head or you can point to your chest or your arm or your heart, but you can't point to this awareness. And that to turn the awareness from the external to the internal, they call it the golden flower. I don't know if you've heard of it, the secret of the
gold,
right? They call it the golden flower, to turn the awareness around back on the golden flower. That alone will activate what's called the parasympathetic nervous system. Mm-hmm. And I know you just told me that you got a graduate degree in neurology, right? And that just, and I love that, neurology is what it's all about. Everything is neurological, really, when it comes right down to it. But what people don't realize, I know you understand this, is there's two neurological systems. There's a neurological system that gets you away from a lion, a tiger, a bear, or a credit card bill, or your bad relationship, or whatever it is. And then there's the nervous system that I call the love nervous system, the Christ nervous system, if you will. And this is the nervous system that's activated when we're at peace, when we're content, and we're all striving to get there. And simply by turning our attention back on itself, on what we say is the golden flower, turn it back inside, that activates this safety nervous system, because indeed nothing can touch that awareness. It can't be burnt. It can't be cut. It can't be killed. It can't be anything. It's always the same from birth to death, and probably before birth and after death as well. And that's what we want to understand, is that we have access to that. And simply by accessing to that, you will activate the love nervous system, where you have healing, where you have beauty, where you have good bowel movements, where you have great digestion, where you have a strong immune system, where you have fertility and creativity and imagination. But we've developed a culture, and there's probably a reason for it, and that gets to your second word, which I'll talk about here in a second. We've created a culture that feeds on the other nervous system, the lying nervous system, the fear nervous system, you know, false evidence appearing real nervous system, which is obviously vital for getting out of a jam. But look at our culture. We don't have any lions and tigers and bears. We made them up. We made them up with credit card bills, and we made them up with our traumatic childhood experiences and the government and wars. And these are all synthesized. There's no more light lions and tigers and bears. And in a way, this is so ironic, Sonia, with all the stress everybody's having. I was talking to a lady today, yesterday, he was talking to me about her stress. We have this beautiful culture with abundance and safety everywhere we turn, safety nets. And compassion and kindness, We don't live in the jungle anymore. We don't live with lions and tigers and bears. We've made it up for a reason. And that's the second word you talked about, which is experience. You know, the word experience is expera, comes from expera, which means through risk. Expera means through. Experience itself is inherently risky.
Right. I just did a workshop on a whole. Did you do that?
It's inherently risky.
Yeah. 90-day workshop on that risk.
Yes. It's inherently risky. But as you know, I don't know if you probably don't follow football, but there was a famous football coach that used to go, no risk it, no biscuit.
Yeah, this is the riskiest game in town. And
yes,
I say that to I've said that so many times to in workshops. It's like you've taken the biggest risk in becoming a human.
Becoming a human
is the biggest risk, because you get here, memory is like shot. You get glitches of things. You're in a body, you're in
entropy, you're dealing with gravity, you're dealing with, as they say, you know, everything breaks down, or as they say, crap happens, if you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the inherent nature of this risky experience. But guess what, Sonia? There's a neurological reward. Mm-hmm. Dopamine. Mm-hmm. We get a hit of dopamine mm-hmm. when we take a risk, and when we achieve something, when we push through, even if it's something as washing the dishes or doing your taxes. You get a hit of dopamine. This experience, this inherently risky life that we have, these experiences we have a payoff at the end. Mm-hmm. And what we've done is we've dumbed it down so that now our payoff comes from the comfort of our own of our bedrooms and our living rooms where we're scrolling, like we talked about early. So mm-hmm. today's modern version, 21st century version of the risks that we used to take to forge new territories and carve new paths is now been dumbed down. Diminutized to scrolling on the iPhone, and they know how to do it. And we live in a world where we have these magic, these black magicians who understand exactly how to manipulate all of that neurological chemistry that human beings have evolved with. But the good news is through intention, through volition, through knowledge, through understanding, we can override that built-in, if you will, sorcery that our culture has. That our culture has devolved into, that is set up in a way to kind of force us to get past it or die.
It's part of it. Absolutely.
It is part of it.
All of those experiences are part of it. But, you know, prior to starting this conversation, before we went on air, we were talking about the light. You know, mm-hmm. we were talking about each other, and I was looking at you and I was saying that, what I see is light, and that light is health. Let's talk about that a little
bit. Let's talk about that. Yeah. Light, you know, the light's always there. Even when the sun is always there, even when there's clouds, right? So the light is always there, even when there's apparent blockages. And the idea is to kind of push apart the blockages or break through the blockages so that the light can shine through. But the light is always there. In fact, in a way, Sonia, not even in a way, in a literal sense, everything's light. There's nothing that's not light, right? It's all light. This is a light show. You know, matter is frozen light. Einstein tells us this. Matter is frozen light, and light is released matter. So really, the grand experiment, the object of the grand experiment, I believe, is to do what you just said, is to let the light come through, is to become light again. And that's what really my mission in life is, from, and yours as well, in a more esoteric sense, mine in a more mundane physical sense, is to bring the light through, to allow people to shine the light by breaking up the clouds that are really kind of illusory that we put into place. And we put them into place for, unfortunately, nefarious reasons, for capital, for money, for artificial reasons, because we're really not looking for money at the end of the day. Business, mm-hmm. we're looking for love. We're looking for connection. We're looking for relationship. So we've created a culture that has turned that love and that relationship that everybody's looking for into something symbolic, pieces of paper, money. And it's unfortunate, but that's the world we live in. So the grand
freedom, I think people, because that's,
I think
also,
that's true. Yeah. I think that's true.
People are looking for freedom. And defining freedom, I think that's the other part of it too, because freedom, I've often said, freedom has been defined for people. Freedom, the idea of what freedom is, it has been suggested, because we live by suggestions.
Right.
And so I think sometimes people misinterpret what is freedom, and it could look like you're free, but you're actually not that free like you think. So
well,
it's real
free,
tricky.
What do you think about this idea that freedom is expansion?
It is.
That's how I, right? That's how I would look at it. And that's what we're kind of looking for, is to be, there's these primal forces, these two primal forces of, you can call them light and dark or good and bad, but Wilhelm Reich, as I was talking about earlier before we got on the air, talked about it as expansion and contraction. It's kind of like a potato, you know those little potato bugs when you poke them, they
mm-hmm.
curl up into a ball.
Mm-hmm.
What we're looking for, I think, is to release that ball, so that we can all expand. And we use different ways. We all have different ways of accomplishing that. But ultimately, I think that's what we're all looking to do, is to be maximally expansive within a body that is inherently contracted.
Right,
We live in this inherent.
It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, somehow the light is carried. Somehow the light is carried in this contracted form. And I think somehow the object, I defer to your wisdom on this. Somehow the object, I think, is to become expanded within the context of this contracted body. Somehow expanded while you're in this contracted body. And it ain't
That's
easy.
The ultimate. I mean, that is the ultimate goal of this experience that we call the mortal life. It is, how far can we take this? How far can you stretch this? And so, Ben, what I see is, again, restricted perceptions, restricted what we've been taught. So there is a very narrow margin and boundaries of what expansion is for many people. You go across this line and it's like, oh, no, don't cross that line. And so people try to stay in what they call in their lane, which shrinks you. And then, yes, then it does do that, what you were talking about with the contracting, because you're not expanding. You have to expand.
Yes. And in the beauty business, in the skin business, which, you know, seems like it's kind of mundane, but it is a metaphor, I believe, for everything we're talking about. Everything we hate about aging is contraction.
Yeah.
It's shriveling. It's shrinking. Mm-hmm. You know, look at a little child. What we love about looking up when we see a little child is they're big. Their energy is large, and their skin is plump and juicy, and everything is outward. And then look at grandma, which is, you know, or grandpa, which is me. You know, not so much.
And me.
Yes, not so much. And the key, from a physical perspective, and see what you think about this as a neurologist. See what you think about this. The key is in the part of the body that's called the connective tissue.
Mm-hmm.
That is the very essence of the electrical information processing system that is the body. And it's the connective tissue, obviously, it connects things, but it does much more than that. The connective tissue is electronic. It's electromagnetic, and it's what holds the body into place electromagnetically.
Mm-hmm.
And as we age, the connective tissue deteriorates. And that is what we all hate about aging. Is the deterioration of the connective tissue, right?
Right,
we
fascia
shrivel.
Is a
and
big
the fascia,
thing that,
yes,
well, yeah.
Yes,
everybody
yes,
is,
yes.
you know, talking about the fascia, and of course, yes, you know, the production of hyaluronic acid and collagen. It's all related to what you're talking about with the connective tissue.
The connective
and
tissue
the lubrication is what that provides.
Exactly, you hit the nail on the head. You see. You ever hear the people say, oh, the body's 60% water, 70% water? You've all heard that, right? You've heard that term, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about it, if you were 70% water, 60% water, how come you're not a puddle sloshing around the sidewalk as you walk down the street? You'd be going slosh, 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 like a cup of water, right? Like this, boom, 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 boom. But you're not. Why? Because the water is not water. The 60% water and 70% water is magic water. It's structured water. It's coherent water. It's a type of water that conducts energy in a soliton formation, which means it doesn't lose information as it passes through. It's a kind of gel water, if you will. And that's what holds us into place. Really, we're held into place by the interaction between the collagen, the hyaluronic acid, and the polysaccharides, as you mentioned, and the ions that are floating around in the water. And all of this creates an electrical milieu that creates a structured water, an easy water.
Right.
And as we age and our collagen deteriorates and our hyaluronic acid starts to break down and we don't have the minerals and the ions, we blobify.
Well, we dry out and
we sag. It sinks. The water loses coherency.
And the difference. conduit for electricity.
It becomes less coherent. It becomes like a light. You know, the difference, a coherency is like a light bulb versus a laser. You know, a light bulb is great for reading, but you're not going to shoot a satellite out of the sky with a light bulb. And you're not going to run your computer with a light bulb. You're not going to carve out a cancer tumor with a light bulb. You need a laser for that. A laser, the difference between a laser and a light bulb is coherency. When water becomes coherent, it becomes laser-like versus light bulb-like. And as we age, we lose our coherency, and which means we lose our ability to transmit information. And you probably heard the term information medicine now. Information medicine is now a big thing. It's being realized by the medical model that when we get sick, we lose the ability to transmit information. Look at the word, in form. We lose our form. We lose our ability to create form. We decohere. And so what I do with my skincare products and my nutritional work is I help people understand how to build the connective tissue, the collagen, and the hyaluronic acid, not just so we have better connection, but so we can have better information transfer. So the information can spread in this soliton formation from head to toe much more efficiently. And at the end of the day, what is it that's being informed? The cell. And that's the key to everything. You mentioned it at the beginning. I am in love with the eukaryote, you know, the biological cell, this entity that is microscopic. You can't even see it, but yet within that microscopic part, you've got thousands, millions of working parts, including the all important mitochondria, as well as the nucleus and the Golgi apparatus, the endoplasmic reticulum and the cytoskeleton. And it's all wrapped around with, you know, we call it the cell membrane, but the cell membrane is nothing but a little slick of oil. You know, it's like a little tiny slick on the surface of this microscopic creature called a cell. But that cell membrane is nano architected. It's a lipid bilayer, they call it. It's like a sandwich. It's not a mere oil slick. It's an organized, structured oil slick with little pieces. You ever hear lipid rafts? They got little pieces of something, you know, molecules that float around the membrane to communicate messages. And within that membrane, you've got little openings they call receptors. And this is the key to understanding how to stay healthy, is to feed this cell. And here's the thing, Sonia, this is what we're not being told. And this is what I scream from every mountaintop and stage and rooftop and platform I can find. The cell doesn't need drugs. The cell doesn't need medicine. The cell doesn't need anything in the doctor's magical bag of tricks. It needs food, i.e. nutrition. It needs oxygen, and it needs a clean place to do its work. Three things. That's it. Food, oxygen, and a clean place to do its work. The only thing that can go wrong with the living entity in the body, which is the cell, the eukaryote, the advanced cell, is starvation, suffocation, and toxification, which in turn leads to inflammation. Which is everything, in terms of disease, which is everything, which then also leads to more starvation, suffocation, toxification, more inflammation, more starvation, suffocation, and toxification. You get this vicious downward spiral where most of us live as we age. And then we go to the doctor, or we go interact with the medical model, and all they can do to a cell is excise it, remove it, electrocute it, radiate it, x-ray it, or poison it. And what do we do? The definition of insanity is to go back to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. We keep going back, and that's why we got more doctors, more drugs, more hospitals, more medical protocols, the most expensive healthcare in the world. And we're the sickest culture in the history of the planet. Our longevity just stays the same. We're the fattest, the most diabetes-ridden, cancer goes up. What are we getting? It's because we have a model that doesn't work. It's based on this reductionistic, fragmented idea that the body is just made up of a bunch of parts. And this comes from the Middle Ages. And by the way, it was an advance in the Enlightenment in the 16th century. That was an advance over little elves that shot arrows at you, or, you know, miasmas or clouds in the air that made you sick. So it was an advance at one time. But something happened in 1948 that completely changed the landscape, and that we still haven't really sunk our teeth in terms of health, and that's systems theory. This idea that the body is a system. You see, systems have a different way of interacting than fragmented parts. Systems evolve a certain way. Systems grow a certain way. And if you go to the doctor today, you'll go to the cardiologist for your heart. You'll go to the OBGYN for your female system. You'll go to the osteopath for your bones, or you'll go to the eye doctor for your eyes. You'll go to the immunologist for your allergies, the dermatologist for your skin problems, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the body is not made of a bunch of different parts. You can't treat the skin without treating the system. You can't treat the brain without treating the system. You can't treat the bones without treating the system. Yes, ma'am.
Now we're going to, wow, I'm just so all in right here. You know, I'm just hardly holding on to my seat. But we are going to have to take a quick station break. And when we return, I want to get into the emotional part of it, the trauma part of it, because it holds such a big piece in this puzzle of what we're talking about, and letting and allowing your light to shine. So stay tuned, and we will be right back after this brief break.
KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
And we are back. And of course, you're tuned in to KPFK 90.7 FM in Southern California. You're listening to The Expansion Zone with your host, Sonia Barrett. That's me. And my guest today, of course, is Benjamin Knight Fuchs. And we are having an incredible conversation. And so, Ben, let's jump right back in.
Yes.
And let's talk about this other part of this puzzle that we're dealing with the body, the trauma, the emotional stuff.
I call it SMEP. All healing and all illness, conversely, is based in four dimensions. The four dimensions of health, or the four dimensions of pathology, either way, whatever way you want to look at it: spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, in that order. Yes, you can do things physically, but you will find, and I find as a healthcare professional, that if people plateau, they get some benefits from physical protocols, from physical strategies, and then they don't get better, there's spiritual, mental, and emotional issues that have not been addressed. And I also find that if people don't get respond positively to protocols that I know should work, there's spiritual, physical protocols that should work, there's spiritual, mental, and emotional aspects at play. And at the end of the day, while I'm dividing it up into four levels, they're all integrated. You can't, every time you have a spiritual idea, and I'll tell you what I mean by that in a second, you have a physical, there's a physical change in your body via hormones. Likewise, every thought you think, every emotion you feel creates a physical response in the body via hormones. So at the end of the day, we are the, our physical bodies are the manifestations of our spiritual, mental, and emotional natures. And when I talk about spirituality, and even by extension, our mental natures and emotional natures, I'm not talking about going to church and religion, although that's great if you want to go to church. I'm not against going to church and religion. I'm talking more fundamentally. See, when we're born, we are born from a state of unity, a state of oneness, into a state of two-ness, duality, where all of a sudden it's us versus them. And when you have an us versus them dual nature, a dual approach to the world, something very interesting happens. See, if you look in the dictionary under phobias, under fears, you'll see fear of heights and fear of crowds and fear of peanut butter getting stuck in the roof of your mouth. Yes, that's a legitimate phobia. Fear of public speaking and fear of death, et cetera, so on and on and on. But really, Sonia, there's only one fear. All of these fears have one thing in common, whether it's spiders or snakes or crowds or public speaking or whatever it is. It's all the fundamental fear of the unknown. Absolutely. This is what we fear, is the unknown, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and even if psychologists tell us that there's two main approaches to the world, if you will. There's the approach of fear and the approach of love. It says this in the Course in Miracles, love and fear. These are the fundamental, this is the fundamental dichotomy. And neurologically, it expresses as the parasympathetic or love nervous system and the sympathetic or fear nervous system, as we talked about earlier. But what happens is, Sonia, when we come from oneness, from the state in the womb, and come out into the world, all of a sudden, we activate the fear response, this idea of separation. And in fact, the word separation in Latin is sin. We are born into original sin. We are born into separation. And what does this do? It immediately activates the sympathetic nervous system, the fear nervous system. And from this point forward, for the rest of our lives, really, we operate in this fight or flight mentality, way of looking at the world. But separation is an illusion. There is no separation. Every time I breathe out, you breathe in. You're breathing in molecules from Abraham Lincoln and Jesus Christ and Buddha right now as we speak. Where are you occurring right now? In my head. Where am I occurring? In your head. There is no separation. It's a complete illusion. It's the lie. The ultimate lie is that we are separated from each other. And it's almost like in The Wizard of Oz, how Dorothy was, which is a great, wonderful metaphor, The Wizard of Oz is on many levels. But what did Dorothy do the whole movie? She was trying to get to Kansas the whole time. And where was she? In bed, dreaming the whole darn time. And we spend our lives trying to get back into the sense of oneness when it's already here. We just simply have to recognize that we are connected, that there is no separation. The word religion is relig. It means to reconnect. And this is what we have to do if we're going to activate this parasympathetic nervous system response, which is what fights wrinkles, which is what fights heart disease, which it strengthens your immune system, which supports the digestive system, which anti-ages you, which reverses the aging process, which is ultimately the accumulation of sympathetic overactive sympathetic nervous system. You know, women are in touch with their bodies much more than men. Women, because every month a woman is reminded she has a body, right? And every so often in a woman's life, she has a baby. So women are much more knowledgeable and understanding about their bodies. What does a woman do when she has a bad day that a man wouldn't do? Woman comes home and says, I had a bad day. I'm going to take a bath, right? What does a bath do? A bath takes you back to the last time you were safe, which was when? The womb. We are all trying to get back to that sense of safety. And if you want to do one thing to restore yourself back to health from a spiritual, mental, emotional, and ultimately physical level, and I'm a skincare professional. I make skincare products. I talk about nutrition. But this one thing is way better than any of my skincare products, way better than any nutritional supplement formula you could take, better than any other nutritional, dietary, or physical strategy you can use. It's figure out how to be safe, which is what Jesus tells us in the Bible, but has been corrupted to be saved. Jesus didn't say to be safe. He said to be safe. He said you want to activate that safety response, because in that safety response, you have everything from a neurological perspective to an emotional, mental perspective, and ultimately to a spiritual perspective. And it all comes from understanding we are connected to the universe. We are connected to God. We are connected to each other. Do you know about the loneliness epidemic? You've heard about the loneliness epidemic. Yeah. I was just reading today how loneliness now affects your memory. People have no friends. The whole thing with COVID locked people up in their homes. How can we be lonely? We're all connected. We're all together. Learning to respect the connection that is inherent to the body, as we talked about, just because there's clouds in the front doesn't mean the light's always there, is the key to wellness, the key to aging gracefully. I don't like saying anti-aging, but aging gracefully, and the key ultimately to a satisfied and content and fulfilling life.
Yes. You said, what else is there to say?
There's not right. There's not a lot.
And
that is, that's true. I was, I went to the medical library a few years ago, and I remember going to the medical library, and there was like five floors of medical texts and medical books and medical journals and magazines and everything medicine. And I thought to myself, with all this know-how of all the molecular mechanisms and genetic mechanisms and enzyme systems and all the stuff that's going on in the body, we're sicker than ever before, because health is simple. It's easy.
Yeah, but it's not. It's simple and easy, but what I see, in my office, yes, it's a lot. The root is always some sort of emotional
fear.
It's something that has been there since maybe from they either inherited, or you know, just exposure in life, maybe as a child, or you just, again, fear, survival. You end up being in survival mode, and that shuts you down, and it narrows your possibilities. It's very hard to see around it. And so we have a lot of what topical, because I want to say that real quickly before you go, but we do topical because we're trying to not age from the outside.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to inside out. Then that kind of falls by the wayside. You can do topical, that's fine. But to balance that, you want to work on the inside.
100%.
Yeah, to 100%. Support
that. And that's really interesting because, you know, we talk about these dichotomies, light and dark and separation and connection and expansion and contraction. But one of the really fundamental dichotomies, if you will, that we live through is the mind and the body. All this stuff about fear, it doesn't live in the body. It lives in the mind because the mind goes forward to anticipate and backward to regret. It goes forward into worry and anxiety and backward into guilt and shame. And so when we learn to go into the body is a portal to the present. In fact, just by focusing on your hand or your foot or the sound of your breath or the sound of your heart, turning the attention to the body, you will immediately deactivate the fear response. Because there's no fear in the body. The fear is in the mind. And
right.
The beautiful thing about the body is that it's a portal to the present and it's a portal into pleasure. The truest, most delicious pleasure is the pleasure of the body. But we're constantly pulled to and fro mentally into fear mode. And in the Bible, Jesus says, I love this. He says, if they say, look here, look there, lo, the kingdom of heaven, blah, 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 don't listen to them. Because I tell you, where's the kingdom of heaven? Within. Mm-hmm. It's right here. And so learning to place attention, and this is a key word, attention on the body. What is attention? Attention is love, Sonia. When you love your cat, your dog, your child, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend or girlfriend, you're interested in them. You're curious about them. You ask them questions. You pay attention to them. What we're really talking about here, Sonia, this whole discussion really, is loving ourselves. And by ourselves, I mean our physical selves, our spiritual selves, our mental selves, and our emotional selves. And one of the fastest ways to go into this pleasure response, this parasympathetic response, this healing response, this deceleration of aging response, is to turn your attention on the body in a way that nurtures it with love. Not our health. Look at our health system. We kill the cell, the body, the cells, really, with drugs. We electrocute them. We remove them. We excise them. If you had a baby that was crying, Sonia, would you drug the baby? Would you put scotch tape on the baby's mouth? Would you excise the baby or surgically remove his vocal cords? Of course not. That's ludicrous. But we think nothing of doing that to the body. You know, we're talking about eukaryotes, the advanced cell. What's really interesting here is the partner of the advanced cell is the prokaryote, which is the primitive cell, the bacterial cell. When we figured out how to utilize oxygen, when the cell figured out how to utilize oxygen, it became an advanced cell. When a cell is no longer loved, nurtured, fed, oxygenated, given a clean place to do its work, it will die eventually. But every once in a while, a eukaryote will devolve into a prokaryote. And instead of utilizing oxygen, instead of being advanced, instead of having lots of working parts, and most importantly, instead of taking one for the team, as we talked about earlier, instead of becoming a liver, instead of becoming a bone, instead of becoming a brain or a breast or skin or whatever structure in the body, it will say, in essence, excuse my French, screw you. I am not going to be a liver. I am not going to be a bone or a skin or a heart or a brain or whatever. I'm just going to divide on my own. And it goes backwards in time and becomes a prokaryote, a primitive cell, like a bacterial cell. And a bacterial cell only divides. A bacterial cell doesn't form structures. It just forms slimes. And a bacterial cell doesn't have a lot of working parts and organization and can't utilize oxygen. It's a primitive cell. It's like a cell on safe mode on your computer, right? What do we call that kind of cell? We call it cancer. That's a cancer cell. A cancer cell is a cell that has reverted back in time. Why? Because it wasn't loved. because it wasn't taken care of. We didn't give it attention. We poisoned it. We left it swimming in an ocean of its own poison. And so what I'm saying here is this idea of loving ourselves and loving ourselves is so important. And we're not taught to do it, so we have to do it with volition. We have to go out of our way to do it because the culture is not doing it for us. And one of the greatest gifts a parent can give their child is the gift of self-love. And one of the greatest violations of a child that a parent can do is to have that child have guilt and have self-hate and self-loathing. And look around at our world. Somebody who has self-love is not going to hurt you. Somebody who has self-love, who really loves themselves, is going to want to love you because they know how beautiful it is. And what we're suffering from here today is not love in our world, in our whole culture. It's not loving ourselves, not having that kind of understanding of what we are, as we talked about at the beginning of the program, that should put us just praising whatever divine force you want to praise for the gift of ourselves, of being who we are. And at the end of the day, Sonia, there will never, ever, ever, ever in the 13.8 billion years of the universe be another Sonia or another Ben or another anybody who's listening. You are the most precious, by definition, the most precious thing that ever existed.
You're uniquely you.
Forever. There will never be another you. How amazing is that? You're the most unique thing that ever existed. And as soon as we figure that out, as soon as we can begin to understand that and grok it, incorporate it into ourselves viscerally, we will change the way the world is. And that's when the kingdom of heaven will be here.
Absolutely. And it starts with you. Now, I know that time is running short for you. So would you at least give us a website, anything?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I've been working the internet, not as long as you, but I've been working the internet for probably 20 years or 15 years or so, 16 years or so. So if you go online, look up Pharmacist Ben, Benjamin I. Fuchs, Ben Fuchs, you'll get a million things. You'll be sick of seeing me. Although I must say, I just found out that YouTube retroactively yanked me off a whole bunch of stuff because I violated. I said the wrong thing. So there's less today than would have been last week, but there's still a bunch of stuff. You can also go to truthtreatments.com. I developed a line of skincare products that builds collagen, builds connective tissue. The raison d'etre of my skincare formulations, and I've been doing this for many years as a pharmacist, as a compounding pharmacist, as a dermatology compounding pharmacist. I'm trained in healing burns and traumas, skin diseases, etc., is to reconstruct the most important part of the body, which is the connective tissue. And I discovered that there was a strategy, and let's just take a really quick minute to talk about my skincare philosophy. Our skincare business, like our medical business, and they're related, doesn't serve us because it comes from a time gone by. The modern skincare business was born in the early 1900s by a lady named Helena Rubinstein, who didn't know anything about skin, but she knew about marketing, and she knew about narratives, and she knew about creating stories, and she did that very, very well. And our skincare business today has the DNA that was deposited by Helena Rubinstein, and it's based on stories and narratives and aspiration and marketing. And it's not really based in how the skin is really constructed. But I'm a pharmacist. I can't play the story game. I can't play the narrative game. I can't say, oh, this antibiotic, Cindy Crawford loves this antibiotic. Or, oh, this birth control pill smells really good. You say, I don't care. I want the darn thing to work. Right? So I come from a world of gravitas, a world of seriousness, a world of work. And so what I did was I figured out a way how to create topical formulations that would leverage the fibroblast, which is the cell that makes the connective tissue, and the keratinocyte, which is the cell that makes the barrier and the moisture factors. And the strategy I hit upon was it's so silly. It's almost, you think it was the craziest. You wonder why nobody else is doing it. And people say, oh, Ben, you're so smart. No, I'm not that smart. It's just obvious. I took the water out, and I took the wax out, and I took the oil out, and I took the silicone out, and I took the preservative out, and I replaced it with the body's and the skin's most important ingredients. And when I say the body and the skin, I mean the cell. It's all about the cell. And what is the cell's most important ingredients? We all know what it is intuitively. Nutrition, vitamins, minerals, aminos, fatty acids, the essential nutrients. So it's what I, it's in essence created was a line of topical nutritional supplements in transdermal vehicles, that is carriers, which we study in pharmacy school, for delivering those vitamins, minerals, aminos, and fatty acids to the keratinocyte, which lives relatively low in the skin, and the fibroblast, which lives even lower, to leverage them. Because a cell is like anything else, fibroblast or a keratinocyte. When it has resources, it goes to town. When it doesn't have resources, it pulls in. And this is what we're living in collectively, a situation, an environment where our cells feel like they're broke. And metaphorically, the owners of the cells also feel like they're broke. They don't have the abundance. And so what we're doing with Truth Treatments is we're telling the cell, go to town, little fella. You got what you need. You got plenty. It's summertime. Go grow. Make collagen. Make hyaluronic acid. Repair yourself. Turn on your genetics of growth and proliferation. Do your thing, baby, because you got plenty of vitamins. You got plenty of aminos. You got plenty of fatty acids. And you've got plenty of ionic electrical minerals. You can do what you need to do. And that's my mission in life, is to create skincare products, topical products that access and leverage the living part of the cell, or the living part of the body, which is the cell, telling the cell, hey, little guy, you got what you need. Go to town.
Oh, well, Ben, what else am I supposed to say after that? I'm so sorry that you have to leave. I guess you do in the next, like,
right. I do. Now. I have another meeting, but we can do this again. I love talking to you. I've said, yes. I said it before. I'm saying you are an impeccable, beautiful, radiant being. And it's just such an honor to know you, to have you call me. I can't tell you what an honor it is to have you actually dial the phone or send me an email. it means so much to me. And you're doing great work. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Ben. Thank you so much for being on the show. And I do look forward to chatting with you again, because you've got a wealth of information in a time where, man, it's always relevant, but right now, yes.
Yes. Hosea, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Yes. Still going on today.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Ben. And
we'll talk again.
We'll chat.
Okay. Bye, Sonia. Right.
Bye. So although Ben had to leave, he had to leave a bit early, what I'd like to do for the next few minutes is to bring all of this together in a way that we can actually feel and apply in our everyday lives. One of the most important things that was shared is this idea that the body is not a collection of separate parts. It is an intelligent, interconnected system. Every cell is communicating. Every cell is responding. And what we experience on the surface, especially through the skin, it's not random. It is feedback. So when we begin to look at the skin, not as something to fix, but as something that is informing us, the entire conversation changes. So we also touched on something that I think is deeply important, and that is the nature of water in the body. Yes, we often hear that the body is mostly water. But what is not always emphasized is that this water is structured. It is cohesive, which Ben emphasized. It has a kind of integrity to it that supports elasticity, movement, and communication within the body. When that internal environment is supported through proper nutrition, through mineral balance, through reduced stress, that thickness, that coherence is absolutely maintained. And that directly impacts things like collagen, hyaluronic acid, and the fascia, the very system that give the skin its resilience and vitality. So here is where the conversation becomes even more interesting, because it's not only what we consume physically, it is also what we are signaling internally through our thoughts, our emotions, and our relationships with ourselves. Now, we've heard this from so many different people. You've heard this on so many different shows, books, just all kinds of platforms talking about that aspect of of who we are as far as health. If every cell is intelligent, then every cell is also responsive. And so when there is ongoing stress, when there is unresolved trauma, as we know, when there is constant narrative of not being enough, of needing to fix, to change, to chase something outside of ourselves, that too becomes part of the internal environment. And so over time, that environment shapes biology. It influences inflammation. It influences repair. It influences how efficiently the body is able to regenerate. And so what do we hear a lot about? Inflammation. Inflammation. I always say inflammation is information. You know, what is the information that is stored, that is trapped? And it's said that the body keeps score. So that's really important to remember. The body keeps score. So the question becomes, what are we actually feeding the body, rather? What are we actually feeding the body? Not just through food, but through perception. Not just through products, but through the way we relate to ourselves on a daily basis. Because if the skin is a reflection, then it is reflecting not only chemistry, but also experience. And this brings us back to something very simple, yet often overlooked. Supporting the body is not about chasing youth. It is about supporting function. It is about creating the conditions where the body can do what it already knows how to do. That includes giving it the raw materials, the nutrients, essential fats, minerals, but also giving it stability, giving it space, giving it signals of safety rather than constant urgency. And yes, we tend to be a society in survival mode all the time, in different ways, fight or flight. It's ongoing, and we are seeing the backlash from those kinds of ongoing responses. The body doesn't get a chance to come down from that, and that creates anxiety and depression and just fear, just all sorts of emotional responses. And those emotional responses turn into responses that the body has, and the body starts to signal us to tell us that, look, we're on overload. And so, and in many ways, this is a shift away from force and towards cooperation with the body. This is by giving it space, giving it signals of safety rather than constant urgency. So when we begin to work with the intelligence of the body, instead of overriding it, we start to see changes that are not just cosmetic, but foundational. Because we're actually aging, it's from the inside out, not just from the outside when we do topical solutions for that. So anyway, perhaps the invitation here is to pause and to reconsider the approach. To move away from asking, how do I fix this? And instead ask, what is my body communicating? And how do I support it more intelligently? Because the body is not working against us. It is always working for us. And when we begin to understand that, even at a basic level, the entire experience of health and even aging begins to reorganize in a very different way. So that's my addition to summarizing what Ben has, beautfully explained and brought us today. I am once again thankful for having him on the show. So I'd like to thank Ben Fuchs again for being here and as my guest. And I'd like to thank our board operators, our board engineers, and also, again, please do visit theexpansionzone.com. For the archive and for so many other things that can be accessed there. And to find out more about me, do visit therealsoniabarrett.com. You can also visit neuroradical.com and also possibilitiesacademy.com. And as always, I like to remind you to live life to its fullest and question everything. Until next time, chat with you then.
Everybody's talking.